mercies and the God of all comfort. Again, this comfort is going to be a theme here, and we've got to recognize that all comfort comes through God, but we're going to also see that God uses people to bring that through God. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. There's a key phrase right there that says, so that the comfort which we have received so that we may be able to comfort others. And I propose to you today that maybe some of the questions we have in life, some of the why did this happen, some of the whys that we have, could they wrap around this verse in that God is preparing us for somewhere down the road to a divine appointment to speak to someone? Because when you've been through the same thing someone else has, you can connect to them at a different level. When you've been addicted to drugs and you're talking to somebody, you relate to them at a whole different level. When you've lost a loved one, you can instantly connect with people who have lost because you understand that journey. And so many times it's the wise in life because as we endure these things, now God puts us in places so that we may bring His comfort to those that are around us. Father, we thank You. Storybook ending to how your high school would end. It kind of been one of those. God had just radically done some cool stuff in my life that summer, and I come back on fire for God, and the youth group was thriving, and we were seeing people saved, and these great things were happening, and God was blessing me at every step, and helping me grant me with favor, and all these amazing things are happening. So it would almost seem like this kind of storybook ending as your high school is winding. As we get into late January, I'll never forget, my parents rarely ever missed a game that I played. And I remember a Wednesday morning, we were getting ready to start a tournament Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I remember my mom walking in, still to this day, and saying, son, I may not be there Friday night, but just everything's fine, don't worry about it, you know, the typical thing. You know, hindsight, sirens probably shouldn't have gone off, but you're in that moment, you're a high schooler, you know, everything's going great. So we played that game that Friday night, and I'll never forget, we suffered our first loss of the season. And as I come walking to the locker room, there stood my dad. And he pulled me to the side, and he said, "What is this cancer? It's surgery this morning." You see, out of a mother's love and a mother's heart to protect her child, because she didn't want me not to play that game. She didn't want me to show up to that game, but my mind, you know, hundreds of miles away, she was trying to protect me so that when this was over, then you'd understand what was going on. So I found out that she was going to be able to help me. High school, went on to Central Bible College in the fall of 84, and you know, we continue to things are up and down, and we keep praying and believing God, no matter what happens, we know that You're a God that heals. The summer of 86, I'm married to my wife, who I met 3 years ago at church camp, and how many of you know that if God puts people in our lives, a lot of times to balance us out, to be able to walk with us through those tough storms. Tell people when I was in Springfield, Missouri, calling on a mortgage broker, and I walked in his office one day. I'd only been there a few times, and he starts in. He says, "Man, one of these days, I have got to meet you. She has got to be the most gorgeous, beautiful woman on the face of this planet. I mean, I have got to meet her. I'm anxious to meet her." And it just keeps going on and on. 12-year-old young man, how could you take a young man with this big heart that loved people, that loved being around people? Just a few weeks or a month before, my wife, before he passed away, I mean, this was the type of child that he was, being a little child. My wife had come home from just a tough day at work, and I'm sure with the three boys, the house is probably a wreck. She was stressed from work. She was stressed from that. And I remember just going back outside to sit on the porch. On your worst enemy, because it is a long journey and it's a dark journey. What people don't understand about grieving is the length of the journey that we will always remember them. Thank you. Lord becomes much more sustained. Yes, there's little dips and there's little time, but you see, happiness is always based upon some event, something. See, for me, money becomes happiness. I tell people, money becomes happiness. I define addiction as what you're coping with. When life gets tough, when everything's hammered around you, how do you cope with life? Some people want to run to the bottle. Some people want to run dress. Some people want to go shopping. Some people, there's all these different things. It doesn't mean that all of them are wrong, but how do you cope with life? See, God wants you to be patient. God wants you to be patient. See, I learned that money could buy me moments of happiness. That we could buy a new car. We could buy a bigger house. We could take fancy trips. We could do all of these things, which were nothing more than creating a distraction to the hurt that was inside of my broken heart. See, people turn to all these other things. Because all of a sudden that call that God places in our heart, you see, each and every one of us are called to do something for the kingdom. God has a plan for each and every one of us, whether it comes in all kinds of different phases. But that call that was on my life, I would go to church, it would drive me crazy. I would sit in the back and I would look up there and I would say, that should be me. Not jealous of the person that was here, but I would sit there and say, God, that should be me using me to minister to other people, to be a part of the ministry. And it was hard even to set church because this call was just inside. Again, having these discussions with God, God, what is it you have for me? Because if I can at least see what it is, I can at least know how to get there. If I need to go take classes, if I need to do this, if I need to do that, whatever it is, show me what this looks like. Personal devotional side. But every time I would ask that question, God, what is the call upon my life? What does this look like? It was absolute total silence. It was driving me crazy. I was getting angry. I was getting frustrated with God, saying, God, why won't you show me what that is? Voices I've ever heard from half of that. questions about who you even are, God. Everyone has abandoned me. What do you think happens when that guy goes up on drug charges? Do you really think he has any friends showing up? Oh, no, they don't want to be associated with him. They never saw him, never met him. I see people getting men getting divorce papers while they're in prison, and they're broken, and all this is happening inside of them. Chapter 1, it's clear here again, but we now become the dispensers of God's comfort, because now I can say to you, I've seen the depths of despair, I've been down in the pit, I've wanted to end my life, but yet God can bring comfort in the circumstances you never think there could be comfort. I can talk to you at a different level, because I've been down to the bottom. You can use what you've been through to now speak life into them. That we are to be dispensers of comfort. So many times we keep receiving God's comfort, but we never do. Checking on him during the week. You see, when God begins to do that in people's lives, it becomes a radical change. And in the midst of my shame and embarrassment and those similar type feelings where I thought I was done, God could never use me again. see, Brian had come from a medium security where all he saw was gravel and bars and cement walls. And as he come down here, in the midst of a tough situation, he could still see God's beauty. His perspective was to still say, hey, God still created these roses. God still has a plan for your life. But sometimes you got to slow down and smell the roses. Sometimes you got to change your perspective. Sometimes you got to see God's hand at work. I don't know the answer today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how long you're going to be going through. But I can tell you as a living testament that God will use you if you stay the course. And you will speak into people's lives. Something like that. I mean, here's where my mind goes. What happened? I mean, at one time, that's a huge house. At one time, that was somebody's dream. It was freshly painted. They were moving in. They were having family over. They were celebrating. Life was good. They were living their dream, and they were on top of the mountain. What happened? Ourselves, God, could you use me for this? Could you use me for that? What we see is a broken down house. And that picture, a similar house. You know, the things that you can hold sometimes. Listen, that represents the dreams that God plants in our heart, the call that He has upon our life. Each and every one of us. Well, I'll never pastor. I'll never lead a group. I'll never do it. That's fine. Be part of the giveaway that's coming. Pick up a hammer. Join math. Do something, because God will give you a divine appointment at that moment that you will meet someone that needs to hear exactly from you because you have a word.
Thank you.
this job. I really figured I'd be doing this by now. Listen, God will restore that. But you start with the little thing. You start being faithful with the little thing. And God brings the big dreams back to life. Where God has things right now? Are we dreaming bigger dreams for the church, bigger dreams for our community? Because God has a great work in store for us, but it's everyone doing their part.
Just cry out before him this morning. Let's give it all to him. Let's trust him for amazing things. I'm going to begin praying with him. Continue to come down the front. Continue to come and see what God wants to do this morning.
And I exalt thee. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord, and I exalt thee. And I exalt thee, I exalt thee, Oh, Lord.